What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And guess what? This is episode 200, baby. Yes. That is insane. What? That's crazy. No. I still can't believe that.
I feel like we just did 100.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. I looked recently. We're close to like 4 million downloads or something like that.
God.
I'm like, wait, for that's a lot of people that know our secrets.
You know too much.
Every time I accidentally see one of our numbers, I'm like, oh God, close this, please, please. I need to regroup and pretend that it's just Kelsey and Taylor I'm talking to.
Wow. Yeah. 200 episodes is a crazy number. So we thought we would do something a little different to celebrate 200 episodes. We're going to do a Q&A. Taylor and I went on to our Instagram stories and asked you guys to submit questions, and we are going to be answering some of those questions today. So that's what our episode is going to be. Before we get into your guys' questions, just a reminder that the three of us are now doing video shout outs, personalized video shout outs. If you want one for your birthday, for an anniversary, just because, and it doesn't have to be for you, you can also get one for a friend of yours, somebody who also listens to the podcast that you love, a coworker, friend, whatever you want. We're available for them. It's kind of like our own personal cameo that we're doing. So if you're interested, you can email selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com and we will send you more information.
And we also want to give a special shout out to our helpsters who are a part of our Type A Plus tier on Patreon. So big shout out to Courtney, Chris, Eddie, Brandon, Jonathan, Perry, Linda, Michael, and Milton. Thank you so much for your extra special generosity. If you are curious about joining Patreon, we have two tiers available. You can head over to patreon.com/selfhelpless.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. A quotable from Helpster Allison. It is unknown who said it. So this sounds like
mysterious.
One of our favorites, an Instagram quote. Yes. Sounds like a basic white girl saw on a pink background and said, "I'm going to live my life that way," mm-hmm. which is our favorite kind. Do you know how many things I've screenshotted that fell into this category?
Yeah.
So thank you, Helpster Allison, for this quotable. Self-care is how you take your power back.
Yep.
So good. I have been feeling that so hard lately.
Oh, yeah. And you know what is an even like one step further in the basic bitch route of the quotes on Instagram? Not just screenshotting it, but making that your phone background.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Have you done this, Kelsey?
I may or may not have. From personal experience? Currently, some form of self-care quote as the screensaver for my phone.
What's the quote on your phone? On your screensaver?
We have to know.
That's for me to know and
anybody else who's over your shoulder who sees it.
Yeah. I'll tell you guys, it goes very well with our self-love episode we just did about, you know, positive affirmations, trying to pump yourself up. It says, you are magic, own that shit.
So my favorite Instagram quote I ever saw that gets me fucking pumped is, wake up, beauty, it's time to beast.
I hate that quote so much. That is so
much. And it is probably the only Instagram quote that has stuck with me for several years. Several. Since we started this show.
Oh, Delaney.
Mom at Marshall's looking at me.
At Mugs, for sure. That is such a mug at Marshall's quote.
Wake up, beauty.
It's time to beast.
I love it. Also, that quotable was submitted by our helpster, Allison, through Patreon. So if that's another reward that we offer over there, if you want to head over to patreon.com/selfhelpless, our patrons literally keep the show going. Like, quite literally. Yes, thank you.
Quite literally. Yes. Well, you guys want to get into some questions?
Oh, I sure do.
Okay. All right. First one. How much pressure do you ladies feel with how much the podcast has grown/advice y'all get? Well, I mean, this is touching a little bit on what you just said, Delaney, that you get kind of overwhelmed realizing how many downloads there are now.
Oh, yeah.
And how much of our lives are out there.
I have to constantly trick myself into the idea that I'm just talking to both of you and nobody else, because if I really let it sink in, the number of people who listen, and if I, like I said, if I accidentally see our download numbers or whatever, if I'm, you know, immediate anxiety, just immediately.
Yeah.
And, I will show up in a better way for the show, and I'll be more honest and authentic if I'm not thinking about that big number. I don't know how you guys feel.
Oh, I'm constantly horrified by how much I've shared. Podcast. It's not like we didn't want people to listen to it. It's not like it was like, well, I'll tell you this because it's only a few of us here. Like, we were fully hoping that a lot of people would tune in, and we were just sharing with reckless abandon the last almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years, yeah.
Lord. Wow. To be fair, I don't think any of us quite knew how many people would eventually listen. When we started this show at, you know, a kitchen table, I wasn't thinking, oh, this is going to begin around a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I would have said certain things. If I had known.
Well, nice to know you didn't believe in us. I thought we were all scheming and dreaming.
But you know what? Up until that point, I hadn't really had something that I had stuck with that long, because that was in my phase of just like trying everything and seeing what sticks. So I was like, this is just another thing that I am enjoying so much at the moment. But like, I had no idea we would still be doing this. I'm thrilled that we're still doing this years later. It's
you saw us as disposable. You yet another thing that you could declutter, you minimalist witch.
To be fair, I thought you guys would ditch me. So let me get that straight.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You guys.
It's like our 4 year, this month is our 4 year friendship anniversary.
It is.
Oh my gosh. That is so precious. Oh.
Which is like 40 in show business years.
Yeah, it's true. Seriously.
A little virtual hangout.
Yeah. So to answer your question, how much pressure do you guys feel with how the, a lot of pressure. It's
so much.
I get in my head a ton as we're recording the podcast and right after, where a lot of, you know, I don't want to speak for both of you guys, but I'm definitely a people pleaser. And the more downloads the podcast gets, the more different opinions of people listening, you just realize you can't make everybody happy. And if you are going to maybe get into some topics that could be more divisive, it's like, that's tough. You do feel a lot of pressure to try and make a lot of people happy. And it's just
impossible. Impossible.
Do your best. Yeah.
After we record every episode, just picture me pacing around my room like a lunatic, because that's what I'm doing. And I'm overthinking several things I said. And, you know, part of it is because this is an organic conversation. We sincerely don't know what we're going to say and talk about in detail until we show up. And so things come out in the moment that a lot of us are not planning to. And then we're like, oh, shit, should I have said that? Should we take this out? Should we keep it? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I mean, as the show grew, which is very exciting, also the criticism grows too. And and we kind of talked about this, even if the percentage is the same, the volume gets, you know, higher, whatever, more, it feels like a lot more and a lot harsher stuff going on. So I just, you know, I've cut myself off of all that shit.
Yeah.
I don't see anything. I don't see the bad shit or the good shit, really. I mean, like, that's the sad part of it, but I really don't, because it's just too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a good question.
I went to tag Delaney in something today and
I know, right? It's weird.
Nowhere to be found.
How are you guys doing without me on the Instagram?
I know.
Okay, this is the next question. How do you guys stay motivated through COVID and sad season? So seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah.
So seasonal depression.
Yeah.
Well, we're in California, so we don't have that here. sometimes it rains and we get bummed.
A little grumpy. I get excited because you guys know me. I love a little Pacific Northwest action, but... I think having everything get shut down has made me realize that, I could do literally nothing all day if I wanted to, because no one's going to make you do it.
Yeah.
And if you want to get shit done and accomplish your goals, whether they're professional, personal, you have to do them. And so I've been self-employed for years now, but this was a new level of being your own boss this year. Like, you really had to figure out how you're going to get yourself out of bed and get your shit together every day. So just that pressure of like, choose what you want your life to be. If you don't want to be productive, you don't have to, but if you want to and feel proud of yourself, then you just have to make yourself, I guess.
Yeah. I think that's really good advice. Yeah, I feel that way about COVID too. I think COVID's really like exacerbated a lot of mental health issues for a lot of people, and, you know, depressed a lot of people that maybe previously hadn't experienced that, and caused a new level of anxiety for a lot of people who maybe aren't normally like that. But it's been really tough. I think setting goals, I've realized, is really helpful for me in not getting really sad or like overwhelmed by anxiety.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not really like, oh, I stay motivated. It's like you find ways to motivate yourself, kind of like what Kelsey was saying. Because if not, you're just gonna, you're just gonna think.
Yeah, creating structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I just have been trying to take advantage of the days or weeks that I feel pretty good and energized. And then during the weeks or days that I really don't, I just do the bare minimum. And it's been a pretty consistent ebb and flow, you know, throughout this quarantine experience. So it's really like, you know, how do I stay motivated? I don't really, for a lot of the time, you know, like, I'm not motivated. I'm really just doing what needs to be done a lot of the time right now. And on the, you know, those times that I'm feeling like, oh, I actually feel like doing extra and I'm feeling pretty good despite a lot of stuff, then I will try to set myself up for the times I'm not doing so great.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it.
COVID aside, what is your most ideal and comfortable form of male fan interaction?
Love this question.
Such a good question.
Thank you for asking. No one asks.
Nobody's ever asked that.
I feel like Angela in The Office and they ask about her cats. Thank you for asking. No one ever asks.
Yeah.
I like it when married men DM me on Instagram and say, my wife and I love you. Keep crushing it. That's what I like from the fans. I
think yes. Tay, can we each touch on what we appreciate in an in-person fan interaction? Because let's say like pre-COVID, what kind of male fan interaction did you feel comfortable with at like a merch table after a show?
The same level that I feel now with COVID. 6 feet away. No, I'm kidding.
Ask could be worse. Air high five.
Air high five. I like it when guys ask to take a picture and then they don't touch you. They hover their hand behind your back, which is, by the way, what I do to people also. I think it's beyond gender. It's just polite when you don't know a person or you've just met, but you're taking a photo. You can mime familiarity. It's all a lie anyway. Why do we have to touch?
Do you really do that? You just...
Yeah.
Phantom hand.
And guys do it to me too. And I really appreciate it when they do it.
Wow.
Interesting. Phantom hand.
That is so funny.
Yeah. It's so weird. Cause it's like, if somebody could guarantee me that every man who was coming by the merch table after the show was not creepy, then I don't think I would be too bothered by like, you know, like the kind of hand on the back photo. But because you don't know, and you can always, like, if it's a guy who wants to put, like, his hand on the, on your hip.
No. Mm. Your fingers should not curve.
Your fingers should not be curving around anything. Nope. And, yeah, it's, but it's funny because if it's, like, a group photo pre-COVID, I wouldn't really think about it. I just kind of get in there. I don't know. It's so hard, but I very much appreciate this question. Thank you for asking this question. Mm-hmm. And maybe just ask us like what we are comfortable with at the merch table.
Yeah.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah, I was comfortable with anything that wasn't being a fucking creep. I feel like people know being a creep, so just don't do that.
But everyone has different standards.
Yeah.
For
right.
Right. I it was nice when they said actual nice things about my stand up.
Right.
Instead of like, you're funny for a lady.
Right.
Or that kind of thing. I didn't think you were going to be funny and then you surprised me, you know, that kind of thing. But just like, hey, really enjoyed your set. That was great. That was a good time, whatever. But none of that other shitty stuff.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I've ever shared it on the podcast, but after a show, one time a guy was like, you were funny. He was drunk. He's like, you were funny, but, and he put his hands on my hips and turned me around and said, but I like this view of you.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
And that man in jail.
God. Yeah, and he got like grabbed by security immediately. And
oh, geez,
yeah,
whiz.
Mm-hmm.
That's so okay.
Yeah.
my gosh.
So it is hard though. If it's a guy alone, you feel like a little bit more like, I don't know. But if it's a guy and like a dude and his wife, I don't even think twice about
it. Oh, you'll get in the middle.
Picture, right? I don't know. Yeah. It's that's tough.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Slippery slope.
Next question. Oh, this is another great one. Any tips on navigating finances with a partner who makes significantly less than you?
Ooh, that's such a tough one. I mean, I think it depends what the situation is, because sometimes your partner makes significantly less than you because you just work in different fields. And there's only so much you can make as like a teacher as opposed to a lawyer. You know what I mean?
Right.
But if you are in a situation where you have a full-time job and make a living and you're dating somebody who maybe doesn't or isn't applying themselves or something, that's different. Like there's just so many different situations. It's hard to give like,
yeah,
advice to that question, you know, cause it's like, okay, are you dating somebody who's unemployed, but they're trying to find a job? Or are you dating somebody who's, you know, just in a different field than you that makes less money and it's never going to change? Or are you dating
somebody
who doesn't want to get a job? Like what are you, I think it's just case by case and you have to decide what is sustainable.
Right. Like, is this question being asked because you're feeling resentful? You know what I mean? I'm kind of wondering like what the behind this question, because if it's somebody who, like you said, Tay, is kind of choosing a path that doesn't pay as well, but they're not stepping up in other ways. So I feel like there's so many things in a relationship beyond just money. If this person is also able to provide for you in other ways, maybe emotionally, or I've seen in certain situations where it's a couple who has children and one of the partners does not make as much, but they stay home and provide the childcare during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that saves a ton of money, but they aren't necessarily bringing in as much. So yeah, I don't know. Del, what do you think?
Yeah. You know, I've been on both ends of the spectrum. You know, I've been the partner who makes less and I've been the partner who makes more. And I think it's about this. I mean, personally, my finances have always been separate from anybody that I'm with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it just kind of depends on, I think those issues can arise when you're maybe planning on doing something together and one person maybe can't afford the same kind of thing the other person can, if you're going on a trip or if you're doing something. And that's when it kind of comes down to, well, you know, do we up the quality of this trip and I'm that person who makes more will cover more of it, or are we staying kind of where, you know, both of us can pitch in the same amount? I think that's when it just comes to, you know, communicating about what, you know, what you want to do, and everybody's very different.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
You want to read the next one?
Yes. Next question. I'm questioning a 6-year relationship. How do you know when to leave and how do you know when to continue fighting for it? Oh my gosh, that's a hard one. I've never been in a long-term relationship, so I don't know. My longest relationship has been 1.5 years, so I truly am not qualified to talk about this. I am reading a book called Getting the Love You Want, and it's written by two couples therapists, and they were great. And they were talking about, and it's in a chapter I almost skipped because it's about like divorce. And I'm like, well, I need to get there first. I'm just not successful enough for that. But they were saying they encourage couples to agree to go to couples therapy for 3 months. Like, we're not going to separate for 3 months. We're going to give it 3 months.
Oh.
And then the person in the relationship who is like the fuser, who's like trying to force it to work, gets to relax because they know they have 3 months before they're going to, you know, possibly separate. And then the other person, I think it's like the avoidant or the avoider or something, can't bail for like 3 months. So I thought that was a good thing.
Yeah. We should maybe review that book on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think whatever the reasons that you're feeling like the relationship isn't working, the problems that you guys are having, if you feel like they are things that are pretty fundamental issues that will not change, or maybe if you've expressed those concerns to your partner and they are either unwilling to change or say they will, but it just hasn't happened, I think it kind of comes down to like, if you walked away right now, would you feel confident in yourself in saying that you really gave it your all and you really tried everything? If you don't feel like you're there yet, I wouldn't leave, because then I feel like you might regret it. But
just, exhausting all the options. Yeah, so many factors come into play too. What kind of 6-year relationship is this? You know, if it's toxic, get the fuck out of there.
Good point, man.
Where, you know, you both are, you're just not compatible and you love each other and it's just not working out. Like, so many factors go into what, you know, what the dynamic is. But I've always kind of tried my best to look at relationships as, once you get to know somebody, if they never changed, would you be happy?
Good question.
If they never changed, would you be happy with this? If this was your forever with this person? And, you know, sometimes my answer was hell no, and I was out of there. And with only one person, it's been, yes, I would be happy if nothing ever changed. And that's Cam. So that kind of gave me everything I needed to know.
Right. Like, are you dating that person's potential, or are you dating who they
the reality of them
currently are and may always be?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Del, you've given heat.
Just a nugget.
Wise owl of the forest, Delaney Fisher. Okay, Del, you want to read that next one?
Yes. Okay. I feel like we've covered that question quite a bit. After this horrible fucking year, what is a positive thing you have learned or experienced? We did a whole episode on what we learned this year, so I would kind of recommend checking out that episode for that question, probably. What did we call that? Growth. I think it's
growth. Yeah. Growth.
Oh, what were your first impressions of each other? Oh, gosh.
Delaney was drunk.
Delaney was drunk. Was she drunk for you too?
Uh-huh.
Fully drunk. My gosh. That's right. Okay. I think we've touched on this once before.
Came barely, I was just like, oh my God, you're so good. You're so good. And she's gone.
Just a ghost in the night.
Gone. Oh.
Yep, Delaney was drunk for me too. I met Delaney at the Idaho Laugh Fest in an elevator of a hotel at, I want to say, perhaps 11 in the morning, noon, and she was real drunk. And
had, it was noon.
Oh, it was very early. I was checking in. Okay. I had landed, luggage in hand, checking into my room. Delaney had like a fucking full tilt, tipsy drunk, and had like a bottle of whiskey in her hand, or a bottle of, she had a giant bottle of liquor.
I think it was champagne.
Or champagne. Yeah, something. And I just remember being like, well, she is living a life, you know. I don't know what kind of life, but she's living one. That not the same one as me, but.
Oh my God.
Her best life.
Oh boy. Yeah.
So that was my first impression of Delaney.
Yeah.
My first impression of Tay, I think, I'm trying to think of what it was when I met you, like when the first time I met you was, but I think the first time I ever saw you in existence was a promo for Last Comic Standing.
Oh.
I believe.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, holy shit, she's so good and mature and so young. It was like in Little Rascals where the kids stack on top of each other and put the trench coat over it. Where like, you're just, it like blows your, you were almost like an optical illusion or something, because your maturity and skill level in comedy was so unusual for that age. You know what I mean? Like,
that's so nice.
Yeah. So I remember you stood out to me, and it was being talked about even at that time, like, oh my God, this girl's so young and she's on Last Comic Standing. So that was my first impression of you. It was just like, amazed at how talented you were at such a young age.
That was so nice. Yeah. The first time my first impression of Kelsey was I saw her on Laughs.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I thought you were like my age. I was like, oh my gosh, it's another female comic like me. And she's too pretty to be my friend, but she's and I hope I get to work with her at some point. And I remember it said you were from Seattle underneath. So I was like, oh, okay, she's from Seattle. And then I kept like seeing your name on shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I remember we were on a show together at Madhouse in San Diego, and I was really excited when I saw that.
I went
out of my way to go meet you.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
Like, oh my gosh, hi, I saw you on Laughs, and I think I've said your name to introduce you or whatever. I was like, I just had to come say hi, and I think you were going over notes and I felt bad, but you were so sweet. And I was like, oh, she's so nice. But yeah, I was like, I have to go meet her. I remember being so excited to run.
Oh, I remember that now. Oh, Madhouse, that's so funny. Del, what was your impression, your first impression?
Okay, so yes, that was during my partying times when I met both of you.
So, and I'd be like, I can't remember.
Actually. Yeah, I was just going to say. Okay.
I got to be totally honest. I do not remember meeting Kelsey. Okay, I met her apparently.
Wow.
Okay, first of all, so that Idaho Laugh Festival, I was rooming with Jordan Pease and Peter Sears, and Jordan wanted to day drink. And so we grabbed a couple bottles of champagne, and we went to the indoor pool. So you caught us on the way from having had some drinks in our room on the way down to the indoor pool to like day drink by the pool. So apparently we met in the elevator. I do not remember that. And I am so sorry. And then apparently I met Kelsey again that night at the comedy club. And I do not remember that.
Do you even remember? You probably, because what I'm talking about is like barely even meeting you. You weren't even like, hi, I'm Delaney. This was just the first time I ever saw you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So basically I did meet Kelsey. I did not remember. But then the first time I actually remember meeting Kelsey was at this like after party. And I think it was for Laughs, the show.
Yeah.
We both were at some, party, and you came up to me and Jordan and like gave us a hug and said, hi. And I said, that girl's so nice. Who is she? And she's like, and he's like, bitch, you met her at the Idaho Laugh Fest. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is embarrassing. And then it wasn't until kind of later on that like we actually started, talking and
seeing each other.
Taylor, I met you at the San Diego Comedy Festival at Madhouse Comedy Club. And
no, it wasn't Madhouse. It was Comedy Palace.
Oh, comedy. That's right. Comedy Palace.
But
that's
really, this is what I'm saying. I didn't really meet you.
Right, but I met you.
You and Sean Leary, I think, were just walking by me in sort of like a drunken, and it was right after I got off stage, and you were just like, oh my God, you're so good, you're so good. And then it was like as you were walking by me, you weren't like, hi, I'm Delaney. And so I don't remember when I actually met you. I feel like maybe you booked me for 2-drink minimum or something.
I remember. Actually, I think I remember. Okay. So yes, I saw you at the Comedy Palace, and I was on my way out because I had a date with me. And then you got up on stage and you were so funny. I was like, wait, I want to stay and watch this girl. And so I watched your set and I was like, who is this person? And then that's why I had to drunkenly go introduce or say hi, at least, because that's how compelled I was to say hello to you. And first impression was I thought you were hot. And if I was into ladies, I would want to date you. That was my honest first impression.
Oh, nice. I was drunk, not cute yet.
Drunk Delaney at 20 whatever years old. And then the very first time we actually had a slight conversation was a Laughs taping in Santa Barbara. We were on the same lineup.
Yes.
And I said, oh, hi. And that's when we actually introduced ourselves, I think.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. Cut to several years later. I don't really drink anymore. And I'm in my home at all times. I'm in my home.
Well, and Kelsey, I met you like a month or two before we all started working together is the way I remember it.
Yeah, me too.
In person. But I'd known about you for longer than that, obviously.
Yeah, same.
I met you in person like one time.
I know.
We all started working together.
I know. So crazy.
Yeah. I had seen Kelsey a couple times. Kelsey had me on her podcast. I did your podcast, Cooked.
Yes.
And that's when we actually had a conversation. I was like, oh, I have a friend. Yeah. Yeah. And you felt like that same way. Like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, it was lovely. Also, I just have to point out, Delaney, that is a new level of white trash to day drink at the indoor pool. In Boise, Idaho.
In dead of winter in Boise, Idaho. Like, damn, man. That's something.
Comedy festivals were my jam. That was like the best working vacations.
Best. It's like comedy summer camp. It's just, does it get more fun than to get drunk with a bunch of other comics and just have a laugh? Ugh, the best.
It's so fun.
Chef's kiss. Okay.
Hey.
If you could swap bodies with anyone for 1 week, Freaky Friday style, who would it be?
Huh? Can I do half and half? A few days,
like 3 days, you're gonna be someone, and then
yeah, a few and Kelsey, a few and Taylor.
Really?
Wait,
actually,
is that what they're saying?
We no, are switching no. anybody. No, anybody no, in
I
the
thought
world.
Meant only us Any, three.
I was like, anybody? That's what you're gonna do?
Oh, I thought meant between us. Oh gosh.
No, I feel like I'd switch with Beyonce. Just to yeah. not like
I would switch with Jay-Z so I could fuck Beyonce.
Oh shit. Mic drop. I would honestly switch to whoever has a beautiful home in an open field in the middle of nowhere who's eating delicious vegan food.
Whoever that just
it could be
just leave.
Just go take a bath. God.
Oh, who has this person?
Okay. Who has that? Who's famous that has like an outdoor bathtub overlooking a mountain?
Anyone.
Okay.
Anyone. Whoever literally anyone.
Who has that? It could be a famous person. It could be somebody named Sarah who lives in Nebraska. I don't know, but that's who I'd switch with.
That's we're like Jay-Z, Beyonce, Delaney's like anyone with a tub would be great.
Boy.
Oh my gosh.
Also, Margot Robbie. Just because it would just be so fun to like wake up and look in the mirror and be like, yeah.
I
okay.
Yeah. Well, Kelsey, you're not far off. All right. So.
Oh, maybe, that's far too kind.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. What was your biggest oh shit moment as a group? I don't know that I know what that means.
Something we did that was like, I think that could be interpreted many ways. Like, yeah. Oh my God.
As a group. Like for the podcast, is that what they're
yeah.
asking? I mean, it was cool when like Kelsey did the Tonight Show and they said self-helpless podcast.
Oh yeah. And when you did Conan and they held a self-helpless podcast too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's Conan too. Now that was cool.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I also think when we were, for a while, the three of us were trying to pitch a television show, and we're pitching it to a bunch of different networks, and the time that we were in the Netflix lobby getting ready to pitch to Netflix, that was one of those moments that I was like, this is fucking cool. And I felt so happy to have you guys with me that like we were going to go do this pitch together. It was a cool feeling.
That was really fun. And then we got like really good feedback on one network that were like, wow, could that happen? And then they were like, you're too young or something. I don't know. There was some feedback.
Oh yeah. Their demographic.
Right. But, an oh shit moment that was, I remember in the beginning, which is so funny looking back, it's like no big deal. But I remember, in the beginning when we were learning how to like read ads, we would mess up a lot or swear or like do all kinds of stuff. And I remember a moment realizing, oh boy, none of that has been edited out on YouTube. And if our sponsors see that, it's just a hot mess.
We forgot about that.
Oh my God.
Get help.
We're swearing all over the place. We're confused. That was an oh shit moment I remember. And that also just oh shit moments with some of our guests that we've had. I think a big one was our very first big guest was Brian Regan. We went out there.
Yes.
Our new podcast, and Brian Regan was going to be on the show. And we're like, what the fuck? This is awesome.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy.
That was fun.
That was crazy. Getting Michael Bublé on the pod. Oh. Like, anytime there's a really big person, we were like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
That's really good.
Is this me or you, Taylor? Who's rating next?
I think it's you, Del.
Okay. What is something you look for in a partner, or what first attracted you to your partner?
That's a good question. Del, you want to start?
What first attracted me to Cam? His height.
Ginger hair.
Yeah, honestly, his height and his red hair, because that's really what the first thing I saw when he walked in.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those who don't know the story, I was kind of his supervisor at the time at work. And he walked in and he was like carrying a stack of boxes for somebody. And I just saw like a very giant man with nice red hair. And then he put the box down and introduced himself. And I was just like, yeah, he's just overall cute to me. You know, he's just cute. So, yeah, that's what I noticed. Yeah.
That's nice.
I had a boyfriend at the time, though. So I was like, I can't do anything about that yet.
He was forbidden. He was forbidden fruit.
Yes. Yes. But what about you guys?
One thing we look for, or what do we look for?
What's attracted you in the past, or, you know, what do you notice? What kind of qualities or characteristics do you like usually?
I mean, I like people who are talented,
mm-hmm.
tall, and preferably very honest. Do I always do that? No. That's what I look for.
Yeah, being able to make me laugh and me being able to make them laugh will always be like very, very, very high on the list for me. But also as I get older, really thinking about what their values are and what their character is, as opposed to like, oh, we like the same type of music, or, you know, the things that feel a little bit more surfacey. And as you're younger, you're like, oh, I'm attracted to that. Then you get older and realize there are certain things that are really, really important. And it kind of doesn't matter if you guys like the same type of food or whatever. It's like, you know, do they have good character and stuff like that? So.
Yeah. And rich parents.
And rich parents.
Not something I look for, but something I found quite a lot looking back. My best friend told me that when she goes, you have a type and it's guys whose parents have summer homes. Not on purpose. It just happened like a few times in a row.
And I was, wow.
Okay. Not a few, but maybe. I don't know. I haven't dated that many people. So it's easy to find patterns.
Right.
But yeah, I agree with Kelsey. I think when you're younger, you're like, I just want someone who's hot. And you're like, I want someone who's going to do the right thing, even when nobody's watching. That's what I want.
I
want
someone who's like, love that. Yeah.
That.
Got very sure. strong. I want someone with a really strong conscience.
Yes. I need mm-hmm. to be able to have fun with the person doing literally anything.
Yes.
Going to the post office, sitting on the couch, going to a party, doesn't matter, but we're having a good time.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. That's been a thing when I've been in relationships where we had that. It was like, when you're like best friends, there's literally nothing better in the whole world.
For sure. Okay. This next question is crazy. Like, I can't believe that they want us to help with this. They asked, will you name my next baby? It's a boy.
Oh, Charlie.
Oh, that's a great name.
I love the name Charlie.
I like the name. I like James and Liam. I like a lot of Irish names.
Oh, they're cute.
Yeah. I like the name Finn.
Oh, I love the name Finn.
There was just this silence.
No, I like that. I had to think about it.
Oh, okay. And then as I said it, I was like,
is that like a just stupid, like a dolphin fin or something? But no. There's that great
– It's another Irish name, right?
I think so, yeah.
Irish, right?
I haven't thought about that name much. And then there's that actor who I really like, and he's been in a bunch of stuff, but his name is Finn. And I'm like, that's such a good name. I like that name.
Finn,
yeah.
Yeah. That's a good name. Okay. There you go. Four excellent options. Please update us.
If you actually name your baby after something we just said, please let us know, because that is – I mean, we will be monsters. We can't – our egos can't handle that. That's nuts that we are naming people's babies. What?
No.
Crazy.
I'm sure okay. That was sent in as a joke, right? Either way, it's a great question.
Who knows? All right, Tay, you're up next.
How do you cope with unrequited love? Ooh, that's a tough one. Don't know. It's never happened.
Get out.
No, get out. No, What do you guys have for that advice? I mean, I think you just have to move on. And you know, as much as it sucks, accept the situation for what it is and know that it's not about you. There's so many more factors involved in falling in love with somebody than just like, are they cool or not? I think when I was younger and someone didn't like me back, like when I was in high school, it was like devastating because I thought it meant I like wasn't pretty or cool or good enough. And as you get older, you meet people that are objectively great and don't work for you.
Yeah.
And it makes you go, oh, that means I can be objectively great and someone cannot want to date me. And it doesn't mean that I suck. It just means that we don't connect in that way.
And totally. That's-
yeah.
And if, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the person who submitted this question, if you're experiencing that right now, so sorry. It's horrible. So sorry you're going through that. But know your worth and know that if this person is not feeling that way, then they kind of freed you up to meet somebody that is going to feel that way about you. So as hard as it is, try to see it as a good thing and know that that person just wasn't right for you and you'll meet somebody who absolutely feels that way and makes you feel worthy of love, which you are.
Yes. I had so many crushes that were not, never returned. And you know what? I always think about that juicy quote from several years ago on the podcast that we read, where it's like, if you can love the wrong person that much, imagine how much you can love the right one.
That's a good
quote. Like you love somebody who's not reciprocating. Wait till you love somebody who is reciprocating. That shit is awesome.
Yes.
So much better.
God, I love that quote.
Such a good one.
Yeah. Such a good one. Okay, Del.
Okay. What's the best advice you got that you never actually took? / most useful advice that you weren't ready to hear?
Yeah, we got two questions that were similar.
That you never took? I would say...
Hmm.
I guess you don't really know if it's good advice until you actually implement it, right? So I would say it's maybe I might answer the second one, where it's what advice did you receive that you weren't ready to hear and then maybe implemented it later.
Yeah.
That is a really good question.
I think one thing for me is the whole loving yourself and being okay on your own, that you like, you have to get there before you can really feel good in a relationship, I think. And for a long time, I like to kind of like poo-poo that and be like, no, like I love myself. It's fine. And then, you know, to really stop and do that work and realize, oh, you know, I wanted to devote some time to this. So yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think it can be done in a relationship where I'm sure people can do it. I think it's really hard though. And I think, you know, you kind of have a safety net in a relationship. So I do kind of think it's kind of impossible to fully get okay on your own within a relationship if you're not there yet, because
yeah,
if you're like dating yourself, but you're in a relationship, or you're like, oh, I take more time for myself apart from my relationship, it's like, well, you're still in a relationship. You're still not alone. You still have that person there.
Yeah.
And
right, you're still thinking about their needs and stuff and how they're going to react to things. And
yeah, trying to show up as a good partner to them, you know, give them your time as well. Also, relationships are, they're a really big distraction. Like you can use relationships to distract yourself from the other things that you might need to be doing for yourself to love yourself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would say advice I wish I would have taken much sooner would be, do less shit, quit things you're not enjoying, and take breaks. Yeah. Take a break. Calm the fuck down, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also,
stop going so hard.
Nobody cares. Nobody's thinking about you. It's fine.
Yeah.
That's great advice that I wish I had taken to heart sooner and earlier.
Yeah.
Nobody's
everybody's thinking of themselves.
Yep.
We're all in our own head with our own anxiety and worries and fears and stress. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which books are the most important to you?
I mean, getting the love you want.
Yeah.
So many good ones.
We all talked about Artist's Way. We have a great episode on Artist's Way.
Yep. That's my number one.
Life-changing.
Sorry. Go ahead, Del.
Life-changing. Oh yeah, sorry. I think we've talked about like our favorite things or our favorite books at some point before, but I'll probably just list them again. Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. I love The Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin. I love You Are a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero. And those always stick out to me because I remember actually implementing that shit and it working. So that's why those are super big for me, because I remember falling through and I remember like feeling a change in myself after having read those books.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I found them at the right time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, The Artist's Way and The War of Art for me are two books that have been the most impactful for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's good. The stupidest smart buy you've made? Stupidest smart buy? Like the stupidest purchase that we've made that we actually use all the time?
Oh, so, yeah, I think so.
Ooh. I don't know. I just bought like a citrus crusher.
Oh.
Which is, you know, it's been great. I feel like there's so many dumb things when you're doing self-care that you can get that make you so happy.
Yeah.
Like I got pretty much anything I've impulse purchased at Target and end up wearing like every day for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's those a great are the one. Stupidest smart buys for me.
I think mine is, it's called the Chom Chom Roller. Have I talked about it at all on the podcast before? Oh,
no. That's a great one. That's not stupid at all. That's really it's the animal hair, right?
Yeah, it seemed, I wouldn't call this stupid purchase. It's just kind of like a silly thing that you might see on an infomercial or something like that. But the Chom Chom Roller, if you have pets, you need this. We are not sponsored by Chom Chom Roller, although I would totally love to be. But you know when you have pet hair on your couch or your clothes and you use one of those rollers that's like the sticky sheets and you have to keep ripping them off and they're just annoying? The Chom Chom Roller, go over your fabric and then you open a little door and it's all in there. It just works with, I didn't get a physics degree, so I don't know exactly the magic behind it, but it picks everything up without like actual adhesive. It's like,
it does like electromagnetic shit. Cause I have one too. I have one for Maverick and it's great. I just realized what my stupid smart buy is. That little tiny backpack that I have that has rainbows on it. Yep. It's glittery, sparkly rainbows. And we went, like when quarantine first hit, we went on like a social distance outing and we all purchased something to make us feel better. And that was the thing I bought, was this child's backpack that has sparkly rainbows on it. And I use it literally every day because I take it on walks when I walk Maverick, and I put all of his stuff in there. He's got treats in there. He's got water, got the house keys. I use it every single day. It looks ridiculous. And Cam does not like being around me when I'm wearing it, but that's a small price to pay for how happy it makes me.
That's a perfect one. Oh, yeah. The fanny pack I bought on like a whim.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I use that like every day now. I should get a cuter one. That's how much I use it.
Good stuff. Fanny pack.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. What is the joke you're most proud of or think is the most creative?
I like the only ones I can remember from my special are the ones that I probably like the most. I like the Charlie one joke, and I like the joke about my dad telling me to go ahead and kill myself with a kitchen knife. which I just slipped in there. I just slipped in that fun hour about being in your 20s, and hardly anybody noticed. And I wish I'd saved it because I think it's great, but I didn't clip it out or anything. He knows I told it, but I didn't clip it out. And I think it's so funny, and I'm just proud that I turned that into a bit.
Good for you.
Thank you. I mean, wrote itself, but
I still have a lot of fun telling my porn star lookalike bit, and that seems to be one that's memorable to people. I can't tell you the amount of messages I still get all the time, or like comments referring to me as Jesse Rogers, which is the name of the porn star I say that my friend told me I look like. And probably my cumcake joke, which was what I named my album after, because it was just based on I won't say who, but somebody in my life at the time telling me that she did that with a cupcake, and it just really blew my mind because I had never heard of somebody having that sort of a fetish. And I don't do that joke on stage anymore, but I miss telling it and that reaction that it would get when I would say that a dude would come on a cupcake and then she would eat it. People were just like, so like, what? And it felt so good to have people react the way that I reacted when I first heard it. So those were some of my favorite ones to tell.
Yeah.
How about you?
I don't remember a lot of stuff, but I remember being proud of some of the bits in the Love at First Cousin special, because when I first thought about creating that whole thing, I was like, is there even a way to make this funny? Will people even listen to this topic? And how can I make it funny but not offensive? And also people learn something. Like it just felt very complicated. And so there's a few one-liners in there that I was proud of writing. But I honestly can't remember which ones. Maybe.
Can I tell you what one of my favorite jokes of yours is?
Oh, yeah.
When you talk about the benefits of having married your cousin, and that one of them is that your family tree is all like neat and linear like a bamboo shoot. That made me laugh so fucking hard the first time I saw that, because the visual of that is so funny that it's literally just like, and that's it.
What was the joke you told about, I thought that only happened in like a barrel?
I need to rewatch this shit. I think it was talking about how I thought, you know, cousin fucking only happened and, you know, something. I was probably comparing the fact that, like, you know, you think that it's happening in a barrel somewhere, you know, probably in the South or something, but really it's happening, you know. I can't remember.
Funny to me. It just came out of nowhere. Like, I thought that only happened in a barrel. And what is so funny.
What a funny visual and choice of word. Yeah, it's great.
Thanks, everybody. I like all your bits.
Oh.
Love.
As artists, how do you separate your self-worth from your work? Poorly is how we do it.
Oh, my gosh. Well. What a question.
What a question.
This year has been a question.
Yeah, really.
Is so good. I can tell you the only thing that really helps me try to separate it as much as possible is spending less time working. If I feel like I'm more in balance where I'm working a little bit, but I'm also seeing friends and family, I'm also doing self-care, I'm also doing fun stuff with whatever, maybe reading a book at the time, whatever, it feels like less pressure. And if something doesn't go according to plan, I feel less upset about it because I'm kind of fulfilled in these other areas. But when I am overworking and work is a huge part of my life and my day, that's when every little thing feels like the end of the world because I'm so entrenched in work and only work. I don't know how you guys feel, but that always helps me. I always know I got to add more shit in if I'm feeling like my self-worth and work is going hand in hand at that time.
Yeah.
I've never chosen to separate it until this year. I feel I was forced to. So that hasn't been fun to realize. I feel like I've been really trying lately to be the type of person that I like, even without doing stand-up comedy at the level I was doing it at. Because I think I got a lot of my self-worth from that.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
I fully agree with the things you two said. I don't think I could say anything different. I just agree.
How do each of you define success? That's a good one. Define success by being well respected in your chosen field, making enough money to support yourself, and feeling pretty like content on a daily basis and relaxed, like to be at a point where you can say no to unhealthy, toxic work situations that you don't want to be in instead of just taking whatever comes to you. I think that's what success is to me, where you can kind of, you know, have more control over
more freedom,
career and life. Yeah. Day to day.
Yeah. I think for me, at least professional success is doing what you love for a living. So as long as I still feel like every time I get to do my job, I'm happy doing it and I'm fortunate doing it, then that's a good place to be. That makes me feel successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say, Taylor brought up the word that came to my mind, freedom. For me, success equals freedom. Freedom of time, freedom of energy, freedom of money, being able to wake up and craft my day the way that I want and doing work I really enjoy. That's pretty much, just work you enjoy and as much free time as possible. That's kind of what I'm going after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question of the episode. What's your weirdest habit? I'm afraid of Delaney's already. I don't know what it is, but I'm just afraid. Do you have one in mind, Delaney?
I mean, I feel like so many of my habits have been shared on this show. The weirdest one? I don't know. I don't feel like anything I do is weird, but I know that you guys think what I do is weird. I've cut my own hair. I've been cutting my own hair for 4.5 years. Yes, there have been some moments in my life where I have used my hair to wipe my tears away while crying at a movie, or perhaps just a little tap of the nostril.
I was going to say, if you limit it to just tears, you better be honest with these listeners and remind them that you have fully blown your nose into your hair. You hyena.
There, you know what? Very minimal amount of times when I'm very lazy and very sad. It's
like, boy.
Oh, but that's probably the weirdest thing I've done. Okay. I would say, what about you guys?
I mean, the weirdest habit I have now is that calendar where I give myself star stickers. The color corresponds
to the try.
Habits I'm building. That's pretty weird.
I love it. Mine is, I guess it's kind of OCD-ish where
sometimes if I'm making food and let's say I want to put cinnamon on something or salt or pepper, I always do an amount and then I'll do like a little bit more. It's really hard for me to just do one thing, like one dollop or whatever. I always feel like I need to add just a little bit more afterward. Do either of you do that?
I don't think I do. No.
I don't know where that comes from, but it's hard for me to just do like the one thing. I always want to just, I feel like I need to add another little thing afterward. I don't know why.
Well, extra pinch of salt. You're an extra pinch of salter. Oh, another weird thing I do is I blow in all my glasses before drinking out of them. I think I've said that on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's a weird,
yeah,
I cannot take, I can't take a cup out of a cupboard without blowing on it before putting liquid in it to drink. There's no way. Yes, I believe I'm blowing dust out, but in reality, I'm probably not, but it still makes me feel better. However, this is backfired. This has backfired one time, which, I mean, actually, did it backfire or did it work? I don't really know because I was blowing something out of there. Cam had not cleaned a cup all the way and there was giant pieces of salt in there still because he made a margarita or something. So when I blew, salt went straight into my eyes. My eyes were burning. I was like, oh my God.
Jesus.
I was not expecting it. I mean, I cleaned the mug, but it hurt. So now I have to realize, okay, if this does work, I'm in danger. So what do I need to do now? I need to like blow it upside down or something now. Change up my technique. I don't know where that comes from.
That is weird. You know, beyond, I'm trying to picture too, beyond seasoning, like, do you guys ever make pasta and you're pouring an amount of pasta into the boiling water and then there's something in your head that's like, just do a little bit more in case you're not making enough?
Oh, yeah, maybe that.
I just put the whole noodle.
Okay. Or if you're making like chocolate chip cookies and you put chocolate chips in and then you go, maybe it's a little bit more. But I always fuck it up. This is the problem, is it's not a good habit because I end up making way too much pasta or put way too many chocolate chips into something. But there's something in my head that goes, that's not enough. And then I do more. And then it's not as good.
Nope. Don't know. Never done that.
No explanation. Well.
Oh, well, those are some really good questions.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Yeah, those of you who participated on my Instagram, thank you very much for submitting your questions. We really appreciate it. We couldn't have done this episode without you.
Yeah, that was
for 200 episodes.
200 episodes. Yeah.
Yay, 200 episodes. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for being around this long, people. This is cool.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have an iTunes review of the episode. This is from Gar nickname, and it says, so helpful and fun. This podcast is absolutely wonderful. The hosts have great chemistry and are very down to earth and relatable. The topics they talk about are very informative, and you can tell they put a lot of research into what they talk about. They really care about putting their best effort into this podcast and their personal endeavors. The podcast has been super helpful during my self-help journey and has made me laugh and think deeply about my life. This is an amazing podcast that is well worth the listen. Thank you so much, Gar nickname.
That's so nice. Thank you.
To leave a review if you want a chance to get on the show.
Yes, please. It really does help us move up the chart. So thank you guys for taking time to do that.
Yes.
And you got anything to plug?
I'm, as of right now, going to be in Salt Lake City February 4th through 6th.
Hey.
At Wise Guys Comedy Club, which has been open for a good long time now. And I've talked to a lot of comics who've been there who say that they're doing a good job of distancing people and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you guys are comfortable coming to a comedy show right now, I'm going to go do that. And hopefully it's fun and feel safe and all those good things. And if you're not comfortable, that's completely fine. And I totally get it. And I will catch you next time.
Yes. Nice. I'm doing another. Oh, sorry. I'm doing another one of my virtual makeup workshops on February 7th, Sunday, February 7th. The last one sold out real quickly. And it was so much fun. Oh, my God. They were all helpsters and they were amazing and awesome. So if you want to be on the list for the next one, February 7th, DM me on Instagram @KelseyCookComedy. Send me your email address and then I can put you on the list.
Boom. And I just want to give a very big shout out to one of my clients, Nicole Baker, who is a life and mindset coach for perfectionists. She helps perfectionists set goals and actually follow through with them. She just launched an awesome program with her friend and business partner, Kiana. And the program is called Lift, and they combine mindset and fitness into one program. So you have a mindset coach and then you have a fitness expert, and it's a membership community. Anyway, it sounds fantastic. So if you're interested, head over to @lifecoachbaker on Instagram or lifecoachbaker.com for all the info. They have a bunch of people signed up already, and they just launched in January, and I'm very proud of her. So good job.
That is super cool. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for 200 episodes.
Yay. We love you.
Love you.
Bye. Love you. Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We really appreciate it and would love anything you can do to help the show grow and get the word out. So if you could leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, that helps us move up the iTunes charts. If you can tell a friend, a coworker, a family member, anybody that you think would love the podcast, you can also screenshot an episode and share it in your Instagram, stories, anything helps. Also, if you want more of the show, if you want bonus episodes, if you want to be able to be more interactive and help choose podcast topics, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelpless and join there. You guys can follow me on Instagram @KelseyCookComedy, on Twitter @KelseyCook. You can go to my website, kelseycook.com, which has links to my online makeup course. You can listen to my album, Savor It, on Spotify and iTunes. And you can watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. How about you guys? Where can people find you?
You can follow me @TaylorTomlinson on Instagram and Twitter. My website is ttomcomedy.com. And you can watch my 1-hour special streaming on Netflix right now called Quarter Life Crisis.
Awesome. And you can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. That's where you'll find information about my 1-to-1 consulting and my online courses. So basically, if you're a business owner, podcaster, or comedian, and you're looking to either start those things or grow those things, you can reach out to me for more information. I also have an email list at DelaneyFisher.com where I share my favorite tools, tips, treats, and free shit. And then we just want to say a big special thank you to our wonderful editor, Emma Erdbrink, and our fantastic associate producer, Humaira Nawaz.
And you can find everything that we all just mentioned at selfhelplesspodcast.com.